Peace, kings and queens. This is In Living Black. I am your host, of course, JD. I'm here with a beautiful brother of mine,
Bari.
Young Yarra.
And I got two beautiful kings of mine right here as well with me. Najee is here.
Yo, yo.
Ray Smiling is here. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. Yomi is here.
The homie Yomi.
And Lexa is here. I don't know if I should have said that, but shout you out.
You forgot, it's really the home wrecker Naj's new nickname.
Wait.
Home wrecker Naj.
No. It's not even what you think. This guy's a clown. Just know.
Should we know the backstory on that?
You know the backstory.
He was there in the chat. He was a home wrecker.
Oh, you know what? Okay, yes. Yeah, because me and Bari haven't been the same in our friendship, apparently, in his eyes. Because I used to send him music.
All the time.
And it was our love language,
it
if
was.
You will.
Got it.
It was a shared love language.
Right.
However, Najee swooped in, took that role. And, you know, I just wasn't feeling appreciated. So I went where I was feeling appreciated.
Oh, he wasn't feeling appreciated?
I wasn't feeling appreciated.
You thought I was neglecting you?
Yeah, he was neglecting me.
What?
You wasn't responding back
See,
to my
See, my thing
music.
Is, why didn't you communicate that with me?
You know what?
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet mentally.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I wasn't there yet mentally. However,
sorry.
That's a Patreon episode. We'll do that one day. You know what I mean?
Word. We got to discuss his relationship with his phone now. Y'all good?
Yeah, exactly.
Straight.
We'll have like a therapist here. We'll do the whole thing. We'll unpack. We have Ray here, though. I'm super happy that you're here. I want you to introduce yourself to what you do and things of that nature.
I am a writer and director and a creative director. I work a lot with like sports brands and lifestyle brands. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
What does like creative directing mean to you?
Creative direction is generally, I would say, collaborating with other creatives to help a third party realize their kind of like full potential. You know what I mean? Like in the way that like a stylist helps you dress.
Yeah.
Like that, but not just with clothes.
Right.
Well, if a stylist helps me dress, they might put like their own twist to it. Do you get the chance to put your own like twist to things or like?
Yeah, it depends. Yes. I mean, like I think definitely if you look at all the stuff that I've done, it all looks like me.
Yeah.
You know, it's with different brands, but like, obviously you got to take in consideration the person you working with, the company you working with, and their point of view.
Yeah.
I always wanted to ask a creative director this actually. Like, all right. So like Adidas, Under Armour, they're pitching you something. Do you pitch your ideas as well in that meeting or like you just do things randomly, like off the fly? Like I'm going to do this. I'm going to slide this in here.
No, there's no,
there's no way.
There's no just doing shit.
Okay. No, you have to talk about it.
Not when you call in Germany for Adidas. Like that's their home base.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not playing around like that. but generally it's the sort of thing more of like they come to you with like a problem and it's like you're coming back with here's answers to your problem. Here's how you could solve it. And like you usually put like one in that's kind of safe, like what they expect. And then you kind of have your wild card. Like I want to do some off the wall shit. And sometimes it gets through, but yeah. That's where you get your shit. You get your shit off.
Got to find like a happy medium.
Yes.
I don't know if I could like, you know, just do that type of stuff.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I need to like at least be able to like, do they allow you to like create a freedom as well? Like if you like feel like, yo, this is my solution to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do they allow you that type of solution or they back off? Just talk about brands, not even just like Adidas or Under Armour, just like brands you work with. And
Yeah.
Like
I mean the real skill of it isn't coming up with the ideas to solve the problem
because
like I could present all of y'all this problem and y'all probably will come to fairly similar conclusions as I have.
Mm-hmm.
The skill is in making it seem like the dumb shit that I want to do is the correct answer to their problem.
Yeah.
That's where the real magic comes in, is where you already know in your head you want to do XYZ and it's like, how can I frame this so it looks like damn, the only answer to this shit was the dumb shit you thought of 15 minutes into the meeting or whatever.
That's how you be feeling too, Notch?
How I be feeling?
Producing.
Yeah, like even like reading up and hearing you talk now, like art direction sounds pretty much like the same thing as producing.
Yeah.
It's like, for one, being able to see where the person is at in this field of music. It's like, okay, this is their brand, this is their character, this is who they are, period. how can I pull more from that? You know what I mean? How can I pull more? But in my fashion, where I'm trying to like create a sound, it's like, okay, this makes sense for you. Like, if you do your style this way over this type of beat,
yeah,
it'll work. Trust me. But they have to trust you.
Yeah.
You have to build up that rapport for them to be able to trust you. So that's how you find a happy medium.
How did you like,
or where you find that?
Pick up on that skill though and like refine it for real? Cause like not everybody could just, I don't think everybody just has that. So like when, like throughout your life did you know like I could make dumb shit seem like marketable to anybody else in the room for real?
Yeah. I used to write music reviews like back in the days when like blogs were the shit and
that blogger
yeah whatever mixtape would come out and you would go read like 1,000 words on, you know, Drought 75 whatever, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like so I would write that shit and like I had a job where I was writing them, but I was the editor of a blog for a streetwear company. And if people did, like, we had a whole slew of writers, but if people didn't submit enough stuff in a day, we had to put up 8 posts a day. I would just write all 8
God,
posts a day.
Damn.
Or if, you know, only 3 came out, write all 5, right? But like, when I was writing, like when you write a lot, after a while you get kind of bored with the takes that you normally have.
Yeah,
so then
yeah.
I would just try to like start, like what wild shit could I justify?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you, like this was one wild joint where I was like, I can't believe I sold this. Like, as far as just like, it made sense on the page. You remember that Justin Timberlake song, My Love?
Of course.
Yeah, My Love, yeah.
It was a joint, right? I wrote 1,000 words about how that shit was, that whole song was about, you remember the movie AI? Where's the little kid who's a robot?
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a part in that where he meets a gigolo robot played by Jude Law.
Yeah.
Who's like just a sex worker robot. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this whole thing about how My Love is actually like first person perspective.
That's
from the gigolo robot. And like,
that's fire though.
But like, how did, see how minds work like that? I was talking about that. I say, I feel like that's like some genius. Do you feel like that's like a genius level of thinking, or that's just like your outworldly thinking?
I just think it's like when you listen, like it's just taking enough time to like I listened to that song like 100 times before I sat down to write it.
Wrote that whole
and
shit.
So like after a while you listen to it enough and you're like, yo, that's weird. That one vocal line in the back sounds kind of like a robot.
Yeah.
And I was like, a robot talking about love. And that movie had only come out like probably a couple of years before that. And I was like, yo, I think this shit. And I was like, wait a minute.
I think this could go.
That's crazy.
And like once I was like able to write it out, like, yeah, I doubt that Justin Timberlake was like, oh, this joint is this but like on paper it holds up, you know. Yeah, yeah. And so like that's probably where, like, when I was doing that kind of writing every day, that's where I was like, I could probably sell some bullshit to some people and make it sound like legit.
Yeah, because that felt like that article probably did well. The blog post did well.
Yeah, it was a good blog post. People were like, yo, I did not think of this. This is dumb as fuck, but like I'm laughing, you know. Like so, yeah.
So even with that, like, I know you still do your writing on your side. Mm-hmm. Like, you're working on your personal project. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
But with writing the blogs, did you, like, start to get bored with just writing and expressing yourself through that way, which led you to, like, getting into other fields?
Yeah, because it was like, you know, like, even if you go off that same shit, I was like, all right, cool, that's funny, that's a good blog post. But then I was like, it'd be funny if, like, you really made, like, a short thing about, like, a robot who's a gigolo who's sad because like women only fuck him, but nobody actually loves him.
Yeah, type shit.
And that's not in the movie. That's not in AI.
Right.
But that's just like combining a Justin Timberlake song about being heartbroken robot and being like, yo, I could probably make something like that.
Put
you know,
little,
like
pulling a little bit more.
Put a little bit more.
Taking small segments.
Yes.
And drawing a bigger picture from that.
Yeah, I really don't believe in the idea of like creative genius.
That's interesting.
Like, I don't believe in the idea that, like, you know, like, we think of, like, motherfuckers just sitting around just, like...
Like, some Kanye shit, maybe.
But Kanye is the perfect fucking example. Because, like, you can literally name anything that Kanye has ever done where you're like, that's fucking genius.
Yeah.
And if I don't know off the top of my head, someone else knows how that's just like, you take this, and you put them together. That's how you got...
What did I say to you earlier?
Yeah, you were talking, yeah.
Because, again, going back to production, sampling... It's like I took something from something that's already made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I take a little section, I know pull drums from here, pull vocals from here, And it just all makes sense for a bigger picture. It's just, I took small segments of, like you were talking about with the movies. Yeah. Like you took a part of the movie. And it's like, oh, like, what if I can dive deeper on that? You know what I mean?
I don't think it's that simple though, man.
I feel like it really is.
I don't feel like people could do what Ye does. I don't think people could do what Pharrell does.
I mean, or it's like, Ye, even
you
though.
Like, let's just say like what you do, like personally, like how you just thought about that shit. I don't think anybody could have been like, yo. And I'm not saying like, yo, you're a genius. And that's how shit, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying like.
He's like, no, yeah.
I'm like, yo. I'm not like, I know genius, you can't throw the word around like that type shit. Do you believe in like the word genius, period?
I guess it's just, I'll put it like this. I think creativity is just adding stuff together in interesting ways.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And seeing like a connection between A and B, right? Yeah. And I think when you get to the point where you see connection between A and Z,
yeah,
that's when you're a genius, but you're still doing the same thing as the person who goes A to C or D or G or whatever.
That's a fact.
You know?
That's a fact.
So like, yeah, some people are better at it than others, but it's still the same skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I thought you had a question. I ain't gonna lie. I felt like an energy here. Oh, see, that's why we got to go to couples therapy. Because we not there no more. I don't know what happened then. You know what I mean? It's the music. I gotta start sending you music. So anyway, you enjoy music. I didn't know this about you. Like, is there a direction in the future that you might go back to like writing about music or like having dialogue about music, maybe?
I think everything that I make
is centered around 1,000. Yeah.
You know, like in the way that like, you know, like Quentin Tarantino is a filmmaker.
For sure.
But like that motherfucker clearly loves music and like, mm-hmm. and is like always dropping the most random tracks none of us ever heard of in his stuff. I'm the same way. And I'm like, if he's like, oh, I love surf rock or whatever, I'm gonna put that in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that because I don't give a fuck about surf rock.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But like, I might put like a random, you know, Clips mixtape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Song when I get money to be able to buy a Clips mixtape song for it, that's where I'm going. You know what I mean? Yeah, or like fire. Whatever weird shit that I'm into. But it's always music is always a part of it to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's something like some Spike Lee shit. Like what I love about Spike Lee is just like he always includes jazz.
Yeah.
So I'm heavy on jazz. Like I listen to jazz. My moms think I'm crazy or something like that because I'm only 26 and shit, but she'd be like, why you listen to like jazz like that? Mm-hmm. But it's really because of Spike Lee. Like he does jazz, he does the hip hop vibes. And like, I love watching things or like even like directors just put in things that they feel in themselves, like that they love and then put it in their work. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That ties into everything we talk about. Cause it's like you're influenced by it, but he's sharing his influence with you. You know what I mean? Like he was influenced by jazz as well. That's why it's in his movies. As you're saying, like Quentin Tarantino, like a certain type of music, he'll put that in his scenes. It's not what you're into, but you hear it and it's like, oh shit, this works for some reason. And it's a Quentin Tarantino style, but he was influenced. It's like, when I'm able to do this, I'm going to put Clips verses from mixtapes. Like,
how did you get into it? Did you go to school for this?
No, not at all. No, I fell ass backwards into this shit. Like I went to school originally for biotechnology. Like your boy saw Jurassic Park when I was a little kid. And I was like, motherfuckers making dinosaurs? I'm out here. And I went to school for it. And I got there like the first month, like the first trimester or whatever. And they was just like, yeah, so you just gonna take this blue liquid and you're gonna pour it in the other one and you're gonna write down what color changed. And then you're gonna do that like 150 times. And I was like, this is
not it.
I'm like, what? When we make the dinosaurs, they're like, that's unethical and not real. Please leave. And I was like, word.
I'm out.
But at the same time, like I was in like bands. I was in like metal and hardcore bands. And mm-hmm. so like I was way more interested in like making posters in Photoshop that I had like stolen. And like my shitty friend's band needed a like CD cover. And I'm like, word. I'm staying up all night trying to figure out Photoshop. And it's like, yo, you're supposed to be writing a paper for something. I'm like, fuck that. Anyway, back to this, so that's how like I got into like visual stuff. And so I did that for a while. Then I moved back here to New York and I worked for Rockstar Games and did like video games too.
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I worked on Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, thank you.
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, thank you again.
Fuck, what were the other ones?
Wait. Let's not go past this. I don't think you, first of all, I'm a nerd for games, right?
Sure.
Not anymore like that, but I was. How did you land there? Like, how did you, like, what did you do for, like, Grand Theft Auto 4 or Red Dead Redemption? Like, was there, like,
Okay. Initially I was doing stuff like just making like banner ads and stuff.
Okay.
And when it's Grand Theft Auto 4, it's like there's literally thousands of banner ads. So you just doing all different sizes. But I was also doing like if you downloaded like wallpapers and stuff, I was making like those. And like that was cool because sometimes they would just like let me just wild out and just make art and just put a Rockstar logo on it and they'd be like, all right, bet that's.
Man,
that's cool. That's all right, fire. That's what we doing. And then I spent like probably 6 months of my life. All right, so there's one mission in Grand Theft Auto 4 where you're trying to catch, you're trying to kill this guy, right? And you're trying to kill this guy, but nobody knows what he looks like. But you know that he likes girls, right? Okay. And that he's always meeting up with girls off of like whatever the dating app of the time was. Yeah. So your mission is you got to go on the internet, set up a fake profile.
I remember this shit.
You got to set up a fake profile like a girl. And then you like draw him out and be like, oh, I'm going to meet you here and we're going to do this, that, the other. And then when he comes, then you kill him, right? Right? You went down. So because Rockstar, they were like, well, we can't just make just the website, the dating website. We got to make a whole fucking internet.
Yeah,
right.
They did that. And so we made a whole internet in that game. And that's spent crazy. Like 6 months of my life making web pages for an internet inside of a video game.
That's crazy.
Y'all remember that? I remember the yachts being for sale.
What? Yeah.
I remember like whatever, like, but you had to go into the computer room or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Crazy.
Come on, man. Insane. I remember shit like that. It was geek shit.
Yeah.
Geek shit for real.
But you know what's crazy about that? That's something that you wouldn't never think of.
That's like, yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's a part of the game. It's like, all right, how do we pull more? Like,
yeah.
How do we dive deeper into this world?
Yeah.
It's like now that's we're
here. That's fucking insane. Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that's crazy.
What about Red Dead? Tell me about Red Dead.
Red Dead. I feel like it was a lot of signage stuff on like when you would go into like a general store or something, and it was like Joe's Manure or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was like.
Real,
figuring out
hillbilly
how,
redneck shit.
Yes, yes, yeah. A lot of that. And then towards the end of that, when I worked there, I was doing a lot of, I was writing their blog on the side and then like answering like social media. So like if you tweeted at Rockstar, I was like one of five people who was sitting there reading through it and being like, yes, good job, sir. You know, whatever, whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, so I worked at Rockstar and then, so that's where, and at the same time, I was doing music journalism.
Okay.
So that's where I was like getting my writing up, but I was already like very proficient at Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left there and went to Mishka, which is a streetwear company. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I was running their blog and then running their record label and doing videos and like lookbooks and stuff.
How old was you at this time, you think?
32.
Okay, we have time. I feel like every time we have guests over here, they go crazy. Like we had somebody that was 21 years old and he was basically a millionaire.
Yeah, I'm not that. I mean, like let me get on with him. Let him tell me how you did that.
Like he was a millionaire, and I'm like, he was talking about all the shit he did, and he was like, he was 20, but like from like just him being a child, I'm like, yo, what the hell? Like, what?
Yeah.
I can't even tell you what I was doing at 18.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Complete bullshit.
Problematic bullshit. Yeah, that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But at, okay, so you're 30, you said 32 or 33 at that
yeah,
time?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. Did you know, did you feel like this was like, all right, this is it. This is who I'm going to be. I'm running a record label or something like that. Like, did you also sign artists as well, too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was like, their record label was interesting because they're a streetwear company. They sell t-shirts, clothes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they make money. But streetwear labels don't make enough money to buy like billboards, unless you're Supreme, you know, and like two other brands. You don't like buy billboards. So they were like, yo, what we gonna do is that we got a lot of people checking our website, checking our blog. So like, if you are up and coming rapper X, let's get you before you become the fucking thing. And we're like, yo, we'll put out your mixtape. We'll help you. We'll design it up. You know, like maybe we might put a little money in it to master it or whatever the fuck. But we got millions of people who checking for us.
Yeah.
And so they going to check your shit. Yeah. But now we going to give you all our clothes and you going to be wearing our shit. Right. Mm-hmm. So now when you pop,
it's lit. So,
and when you standing next to Kanye or whatever, you're going to be in our shit.
Yeah.
And so that worked with like people like ASAP Rocky and Action Bronson and Mr. Motherfucking Esquire, and like Young Lean was the one that like I got where it was like, that was my big sign where I was like, boom.
Young Lean.
Yeah.
I remember Young Lean.
he did some numbers on that mixtape. Yeah.
And it, and then like, does that like, is that something you also want to do in the future too as well? Like more?
If I got time, like I'm so focused on film right now, but like, you know, doing record label stuff is fun. It's a lot of work, but like, I love music and the music nerd and music critic inside of me is always going to be there where I'm like, I want to be the first one on some shit and be like, yo, y'all heard a little poopy baby butt? And y'all like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm like, nah, bro, y'all, that motherfucker hard, bro. You don't know.
Hey, you know who that is? That's Najee here, man. Yeah. Najee put me on a Baby Keem. I said, I'm not listening to anybody named Baby Keem.
Yeah.
Baby Keem.
But he's ill as fuck.
Ill
as fuck. Yeah, I wasn't talking like that when put y'all on.
No. I was like, nah, because I'm like,
but
what
it's a
is
pocket.
This?
No, it's something a pocket. That you've never really heard. You know what I mean?
Nah, yeah. But like, you know.
I think it was like just like your level of praise for him off top turned me off.
But
it was
talking about like he was Kendrick or something. Like, relax.
No, he was saying that Kendrick took his flow.
Yeah, that's what he said. And I was like, I'm done.
They write in the same rooms. Yeah, like they collaborate.
Yeah, but that was a lot for me. That was a lot going on.
All talking about collaborating right now.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Let's not put a bad stigma on.
No, collaborating. Because then you can't talk about Kanye. Because Kanye
exactly.
How many flows of Kanye stolen? How many flows did Jay-Z steal? How many flows did Drake steal?
People didn't realize Travis Scott helped on some of his albums.
Travis Scott praise
like, yo, Travis Scott the next big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Knowing. You know what I mean? There's artists on who are stealing their styles.
I concur with you.
Not stealing their styles, but
I concur. I concur with you. But however, it just was the praise, like Barry said with Keem. I was like, yo, this guy is going crazy right now.
Nah, Keem is dope though.
No, he's dope. He's dope. Yeah, it took me a while. That's all I'm saying.
You get there.
Okay, so where are you at now? Like
after I did the streetwear thing, I got into like advertising proper, like big advertising agencies. And have just been there pretty much since. It's been 7 years. And so yeah, I just go from agency to agency.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like when I was at Rockstar, what was great about that was that like those dudes were pretty much independent and like had a sort of like, pun not intended, rock star energy about them of like being like very obsessive about the thing that they created, but obviously having been like so successful that they had the money to do
whatever
the fuck they wanted to. And so that was like a great, like almost art school of being like, oh, this is how you bring an idea from just like standing around being like, oh, yo, like I stood around in the lunchroom with one of the guys who started Rockstar. And we were just talking about Heat one day. And he's just like, yeah, man, that shootout in the, when they do the bank robbery, that shit is so tight, man. I fucking love that. And you're like, no, I remember that shit. That was cool. Boom, boom, boom. Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out and you're like, oh yeah, that's the shootout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like,
it all ties together.
So you're like, okay, cool. I see how you took that from just like, I sweat this and you made it a thing. I'm like, I bet. Like, all right, cool. Now when you get to like advertising agencies and it's like, Adidas and Under Armour and ESPN or whatever, it's like they have a lot of money, but they generally don't have the rock star energy.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, how do you get them to understand like
this could what change.
Like when you're just like, I want to rip off Heat or I'm inspired by Heat, how the hell they can't generally see how you connect that to selling whatever the hell you're trying to sell. And so that's where I come in and I'm like, this is how it works. Mm-hmm. And let's try and do that.
That's fire.
I feel like it's so difficult. You about to say that?
No.
Oh, I feel like it's difficult to like just be in those spaces. Because I like, even like when I was in Brooklyn Circus, so me and Najee had went to Brooklyn Circus.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Yeah.
We spoke with Ouija Theodore and it was just like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a beautiful, just creative conversation around surrounding marketing.
Yeah.
But then I was just like, damn, it's almost like, am I meant to be in this room right now? Because I have no idea. I don't know nothing too much about.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
What?
Like my boy, I don't know if he minds me saying this, but my boy Mikey, who's like with Kanye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he just happened to like kid from Flatbush as well.
Yeah.
He happens to like, you know what I mean? He's grinding it out. I'm pretty sure he's not looking at what he's like been doing.
Yeah.
But then he just ends up in a room with Kanye. He hits us in a group chat like, yo, I feel like I had a dream last night that I was with Kanye listening to his new album. Me and Scooter like, that's a crazy dream. Like, cool. Like, what do you think it means? He's like, nah, y'all not getting what I'm saying. Like, I was in the room with Kanye last night.
Right.
And he said out loud, like, yo, I'm not supposed to be here. And Kanye was like, if you wasn't supposed to be here, you wouldn't be here. It's that simple.
Wow.
Like, you are here for a reason.
Do you ever get that type of feeling? Never.
No. Nah.
I'm not trying to, like, blow my own
of
shit.
Of course
but
not.
But, like, I have
go
yet...
ahead, though. Do it.
I have yet to be in a room with someone and be like, yo, you were just, like, so much smarter than me. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That I don't have anything to add to this conversation.
Yeah. Right.
You know
usually
what I mean?
There's a connection. Like, if especially in a situation like that, where everybody's congregating,
mm-hmm.
it's like we all have a similar mind state. We're connecting on a frequency that's it's like, yo, you should feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. I mean,
trust
I was
what you know.
Yeah, I was definitely comfortable. It was just crazy to me though, because it's not just Ouija. I mean, I've spoken to Ouija Theodore mad times, and like that's not just him, but it was just his marketing team or his like his team, and then
it felt like a lot of power.
Yeah, it was like a lot of power. A guy that made bourbon spirits.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Thoughts, by the way. Shout you out. We're gonna come to you real soon.
You curated a podcast, bro.
What? Right.
But and that's yes, exactly that. Is that right. Like yeah, like you ain't gonna tell him shit about making bourbon.
Yeah.
But he ain't gonna tell you shit
what
about
what was Ouija
podcast.
Talking to you about?
Yeah, yeah. Ouija was talking to me about potting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know I like belong in a room. And sometimes though, the mind tricks. It's just these are like powerful moments.
That's when you just show gratitude, bro.
Yeah.
To be thankful for the moment.
Definitely, because you know when we left out, I was just like, God is good. Because those are moments that you just can't like. You know what I mean? Just
you gotta live in that.
You gotta live in it.
You gotta live in it.
It wasn't like something where it's just like
it's all by design, bro.
Take up and record and shit like that. It's one of those moments. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, this is insane. Cause it was the level of conversation. Like he said, like the level of frequency. So I like, yeah, like everybody here obviously has something to offer, mm-hmm. but sometimes I can't help but being like, yo, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But like you said, you never felt that way.
Have you ever walked into a meeting and felt like you was the smartest person in the room, and then like it's not going to work out? Because
you don't want to be the smartest person in the room,
right?
You know what I mean? If you need to surround yourself with better people if you're the smartest person in the room,
most definitely.
But I don't. Then again, like I think of it like kind of like the Avengers or the Justice League or whatever, you know, where it's like if you the Flash, you show up and you're like, wow, Superman. He's way more jacked than I am. And Batman, he's way smarter than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
your pocket.
But like, I'm the fastest motherfucker here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I might not be able to do shit else, but I'm gonna be fast as fuck.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, you could walk in that room and be like, I'm fast than all y'all motherfuckers. Y'all ain't got, you can't tell me shit.
For sure.
Or you could be like,
ego.
You do some strong man shit. You do some smart shit. When we need fast, I'm gonna step up.
Thanks.
And until then, I'm gonna just sit back and shut the fuck up.
It's a teamwork thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's ego thing.
I feel like it's an ego thing because when you do step in a room and you feel like you have prominence and power over other people because what you have to offer,
that's
ego, bro.
Yeah.
Once you throw that, like, leave that at the door. Come into a space where everybody has something to offer,
right?
And you just put your best foot forward. You can don't doubt the power of synergy, bro.
You love saying that.
It's true, though.
No, it's insane. Do you have like a team behind you as well, or is it like Just like the agency provides that as well.
I mean, the agency, when I get to the agency, there's usually a team there, but generally through hiring and shit, you'd be like, yo, my man, let's bring him over here, whatever. But everything gets done through a team. Like nothing gets done without a team. Even like I've written and directed stuff that on paper, he's like written and directed by Ray. It's like, all right, well, that's just him. It's still always a team. Cause like, especially if you don't come into something with ego, if you come into it with a collaborative way, you could write something and be like, in my head, this person like this is at the other. And then you go to the stylist and you're like, yo, my man, he got to be all black, everything, because he's hard as motherfucker. Black Air Force is this, the other.
Black Air Force.
Right. And you like, I see it in my head.
He's ready to kill.
This dude is nasty.
Yeah, straight Flatbush.
And you go to the stylist and the stylist is like, I know you said Black Air Forces and I got Black Air Forces here, but I also got Black Doc Martens. And you like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That puts it in, like, he's still ready to kill, but that's a different motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
And so like, wow.
Now, listen to rock music.
Right. And so like, well, maybe we need to change. Right. But I'm saying, like that one small thing, and that's just like this shoe versus that shoe could change your whole opinion of it. Yeah. And now think about the actor, the, cinematographer, your producer, like all of the people could add a little something. And then by the end of it, you still wrote and directed it, but Black Air Force's dude is a whole nother motherfucker now.
Definitely,
1,000% for the staff.
And that's how it got to work,
yeah.
So I don't know if you want to speak about it, but you're like now stepping into the field of like TV or like movies?
Anything, let's say narrative.
Yeah. Narrative, okay. Is there like a narrative that you want to be seen to the mass? Like what's the narrative you think that you're creating to like, that you want the mass to see right now?
As me personally?
Yeah, you personally.
Oh, okay. I think the thing is that the stuff that I make, I feel like is very like kind of left of center, but like still appeals to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm always going to have some like weird shit on the top of it. Like the premise is always going to be kind of weird or kind of fucked up or kind of dark.
Yeah.
But inside of it is going to be something that like everybody here should be able to still be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like I did a web series over the pandemic that was about cam girls and cam boys.
Okay.
And so like that's kind of like very specific and kind of dark, I guess, depending on how you want to phrase it.
Cam boys, cam girls, is that like sex workers?
Yeah, like you sitting only at fans. Home. Yes, OnlyFans in real time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That cool. But like if you watch the shit, one episode is just like about like a meet cute, like when you meet a girl or a guy for first time and you just like, oh shit, we vibing right now, right? One episode is about fear of COVID. Mm-hmm. Another episode is like someone being kind of a fuckboy and missing his ex-girlfriend. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's all sorts of shit, but yes, all of it is still wrapped in like
a dark,
presumably motherfuckers jerking off.
Yeah.
And paying someone to help them jerk off.
I was watching something, Kevin Hart with Don Cheadle. And it's not like I watched the full interview because I know everybody was like laughing at the part where he was like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? But I watched the whole thing and I want to ask you this, right? As a black creative, do you feel like I don't want to say obligated.
Say what you got to say.
Do you feel like you're obligated to like also tell tell stories that might like, I guess, like spark conversation as far as like what's going on in the black communities?
I think one, the black community encompasses
a lot. Definitely.
We're not a monolith. You know what I mean?
1,000. I meant like things that's just going on like right now,
So like, I'll put it like this. Like, I don't feel personally that I got to write about police brutality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think as an artist or whatever sort you are, you have the power to say, to write about or make whatever you want to make.
1,000%.
At the same time, I'm like, I am a black man who lives in America and pays attention to things at least a little bit. So that stuff's always going to be in my shit.
It's going to be incorporated, yeah.
And so, like, you know, if God willing, someone tomorrow was like, yo, you want to direct Transformers? I don't even know what number they up to.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, all right, bet, cool. There's going to be some black shit in there.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what that's going to be.
Even if it's some positive shit, too.
It could positive, negative, cultural references, just definitely. How you see the world, like, is going to be in there. And so then I feel like Transformers 75, directed by Ray, is going to be an extent, to some degree, a black movie.
Yeah.
Right. Whether or not that's the Transformers deal with systemic racism, I don't think it's going to be that. Yeah. But, yeah, you know,
right.
But like, crazy. It's going to be something in there.
Yeah, they won't approve that. Hollywood won't approve that.
They're not ready for that. They're not ready for Optimus Prime to step up and really talk about Jazz and how, you know,
Jazz.
He was the black Transformer and they was just doing him dirty, bro.
I think Optimus Prime is black. His voice is black.
I don't know about that.
Bumblebee is definitely black, bro.
Bumblebee is
black. Wait, how did we get Bumblebee as black?
Nah, Bumblebee
the compassion that Bumblebee has.
Compassion. Bumblebee can't be black.
Why not?
Because his voice is radio, right? Like, his voice is that radio shit.
Yeah.
So you think about somebody else.
No, I was thinking about him.
Oh, you thinking about him?
But
the yellow car.
Yeah.
No, that's why.
I forgot that's how he talked.
Yeah. He talked.
You know who was definitely black on Transformers? And this goes back to the Transformers cartoon, which I don't know, might be too old for y'all.
Nah. Come on now. I'm here.
There was one Transformer who turned into a radio. Like, there was the bad one, Shockwave, and he turned into radio, and the other Transformers came out of his chest as tape cassettes. But then there was a good one. He also turned into a radio. There's an episode where this motherfucker finds a nightclub. And he's like, fuck being a Transformer, I'm going to be a DJ. And he just quits the Transformers, and my man's just DJing.
Dead ass.
That might be some like...
He black.
Yeah, he definitely black. But that's some like, that's some underlying shit too, though, Aki, you know what I mean?
In cartoon.
Yeah.
Nah, like, that's hilarious, though. Like, I definitely have to check that.
Yeah, I got to check that. That's some old school shit. Okay, not to come for your age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Damn. You ain't get that
I'm
reference.
Too.
Yeah, y'all, but you're not old. Stop that.
Bro.
Listen. I also wanted to know, right? I just had it. Oh, advertising, like corporations advertising towards like the black community. Cause you know, black people also like they spend the most dollar.
Yeah.
I want to do you know, if you can inform the people, do you know like what things that are placed in like commercials that might appeal to black people, like black communities? Do you know those things?
I mean, it's usually casting and then music. And then now it's the things that are just like overtly now we're at the point where it's like, I always make fun of it by saying like people trying to make Solange videos.
Okay. Like artistic too.
No, where it'll just be like, it's a cookout and it'll just be like black people braiding each other's hair and this at the other, which is like, fine, good, great.
Yeah.
But usually that's where the thought stops.
Yeah.
Where if it was like a white commercial for the same product, they would be like, that's not an idea.
Yeah.
Like you gotta, what the fuck are we saying? What are we doing? Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, as soon as we got like a cookout and some girls braiding each other's hair and we got like some soul music in the back, we done.
Yeah.
Negroes are going to be here.
Yeah.
We're great. That's it.
Yeah. I think it's crazy though, because it's such like, it's so obvious. And I read somewhere that like colors also.
You might think it's obvious.
Huh?
No.
I might think it's obvious, you saying?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Possibly, yeah. But like, I read somewhere that colors also play like a huge factor. Yeah. Like, red attracts like a certain, like just demographic, yellow maybe, and stuff like that. Like, do you ever like incorporate those things in your ads as well?
Not in commercial work. I mean, like you, like there's like a whole, there's like basic color theory of like things that are in red or tend to be more vibrant, tend to signify anger or great passion. You know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. When I do work outside of it, that's where now you start pushing up color more and being like trying to actually tell stories and subtly reinforce a story with color choices and shit like that. Like you're wearing blue, so you are a trustworthy type. Because blue is the color of trust. That's why every bank is in blue.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. Wow.
Bow, 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 bow. Yeah.
So wait, green though, with TD, that signifies like
money.
Money.
Yeah.
I'm just here like, soaking it in,
but
man.
But just think about it. Like, if you think of like banks and doctors,
yeah,
those are and like insurance, things that you absolutely are like, I gotta trust these people.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to their websites and it's always like blue and white, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You just, it's just things you just never really think about. Sure. You know what I mean?
When it's hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
And I wonder who came up with that type of theory. Like, yo, this makes people think this way.
Studies, I guess.
It's partially cultural and then partially just like humans as animals. Because like white here is like purity, right? But in China, white is death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So you don't use white in the, you know what I mean? Like we think of brides, you know, like you got to be careful if you did the same thing and you took it to China because they have totally different, and you know.
Yeah.
Assign values to color and shit.
I didn't know sound too.
You said sound?
Yeah.
Like what about sounds?
Like I remember, actually Kevin was telling me the story when he was in, I believe Thailand, if I'm not mistaken. And he was listening to a song, but it was in a certain key that we think is like happy. You know what I mean? I can't remember which key it was in, but for them, it reminds them of like funerals and death. And he was like, yo, I'm not trying to offend you. They asked him to like turn it off.
Yeah.
They was like meditating and everything. He's thinking like, this is going to help lift me up, which it was for him. But they just receive that key a different way. It's like, this represents.
Did he ask that? Like, he was like, yo, like, this is like.
No, they informed him.
Because they
could tell he didn't know.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? But yeah.
So in order to like avoid those mistakes of like using the wrong color to the wrong demographic, like what is like the general research you do? If working with like a new brand or a new country, I don't know if you worked at like out of country or whatever, but like, what is like, what are the things you make sure you check off the box to make sure I'm coming with this so that doesn't offend anybody?
The main thing you need to do is to hire people from that place, mm-hmm. that community. Cause like you could do all the research you want to and you get pretty close, but it is nothing like, nah, man, I grew up there. I speak the language.
Yeah.
We don't do that. I can't even explain why, but we just don't do that. We do that or whatever, you know? And so like, that's the big thing is like, I've definitely worked on stuff for China. And I was like, bro, we need, like, I need a freelance writer from a Chinese born, not even like American Chinese, mm-hmm. a guy or gal who lives in China and not Hong Kong, but in mainland China to come through and be like, yo, this is fucked up or we wouldn't do this, you know, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
I was working on an ad that never got made. And it was a basketball ad. And it was basically like the idea of like, you know, you train hard and you like really, you know, you're madly devoted to basketball, you know? So it's like a kid who wakes up at 5 a.m. to go shoot baskets before school. After he gets, while he's in school, he's sitting there, you know, drawing basketballs. Yeah. And then afterwards, he's playing basketball with his friends until nighttime and he got to go home. It was more than that, but let's say it was that. You see that here, we'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. That's not the world's most exciting commercial, but
right.
But you all get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And this was supposed to be for China. And we talked to cats over there and they were like, nah, that ain't gonna fly. And they were like, him leaving early to go play basketball is seen as being like disobedient to his parents. And they were like, in all the scenes you have of him playing basketball, he's playing by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, because he's like so on his Kobe, you know, Black Mamba, I'm gonna put up 10,000 free throws. And they're like, yeah, but he's not like with a group
team.
And we care more about like teamwork
right. And
this, that, the other. And I'm just parroting things back that I heard from people there. So please no one flame me if I'm not actually being correct, but that's the kind of feedback we got. And we're like, all right, cool. I would have never saw that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, yo, you show me a dude just shooting hoops by himself. And I'm like, he's dedicated. He's trying to get to the league. Yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Sometimes things that you think are universal
are not universal.
For sure.
Yeah.
Your work at ESPN, is it like is that like of direction you're doing too? Like with commercials and stuff like that?
I did work for ESPN years ago and it was basically one of the things advertising gets you used to is work on something for a year or 2 years. And then they go, yeah, no, I'm good.
Mm.
And then just flush it all down the toilet. So,
they still pay you though.
They still pay you. Oh, no. The check comes through. Please be clear. Yeah. But that didn't work out.
That didn't work out as well. Okay. Anything else that you like that you are working on? Like, as far as like with the, are you trying to like pitch things to TV, like Netflix and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And what's the importance? I always also want to know this. What's the importance of like major networks like Fox, NBC, and shit like that from like just like on some Netflix, Hulu shit?
Everybody has money.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can break it down into that and like play that game. Obviously, on streamers, you can curse and get away with more stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, everybody has money. And when you aren't Spike Lee or Quentin Tarantino or somebody who's already proven themselves, is about like, how do you get in where you fit in, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me, it's just like pitching to as many people as possible. Cause it's like baseball, you know, like you just take mad swings and eventually you're going to hit mm-hmm. something, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot of no's before you get yes.
Exactly.
But what's the process like? And how does that affect your mental? If it does, like just hearing like a lot of no's, if anything.
At this point, I'm already used to it. From working in advertising, you get used to the
no's.
No. Well, what if it was this, but this? And you're like, that's a totally different thing, motherfucker. I don't know. But the process is just you write things that you're interested in, and you nail it down, and you get it so tight that you can explain it in one sentence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know it so deeply that when someone's like, well, that one character, like, what's their girlfriend look like? And you're like, oh, that's Betty, bro. Yeah. I didn't even tell you about her, but she da 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 da. I could tell you all the things about all the things, you know? Okay,
so you have to break it down in one sentence.
But having it in one sentence is generally the rule. Like, if you can explain any idea, you should be able to explain any idea in one sentence.
That's deep.
That's fire.
Like, and the more tightly you can explain it, the more you actually have it under control. I have sat through more hours than I can count of creatives who work under me or people who work for giant brands being like, I think this thing should be XYZ. And the more you talk, the less I need to know that you don't know what the fuck you actually want.
God damn. So is that just like how all executives think? Like, if I'm like basically saying, pitching my whole project to you. If I talk, you'd be like, all right, he don't know what the fuck going on in his project.
It's like this. It's like you want to be able to hook a person to make them start to ask questions.
Like the intro.
Yes. And so it's like when you get them at the point where they're like, and then what happened? Mm-hmm. And what about this? Okay. And what about that? And you have those answers decidedly, that's when you money. When you get that, then you're generally good. The person is good. But if I'm just like, what's your movie about? And what's this podcast about? And you just started, this and that and this and that. And you know, like, it's like Joe Rogan, but it's not at all. But like, it's kind of like that. And then it's that, you don't know what the fuck this
is.
Yeah.
Short, concise.
Yeah. We was talking to somebody as far as like being a co-host on here before, and she was like, so what is the podcast about? And I looked at Barry, I was like,
it ain't gonna work.
Yeah. you know what's wild? Like it's hard for me to explain something that's so broad. You know what I mean? Like even if I put it in one sentence, you're not gonna understand. We're black people that talk about black shit.
Yeah. There you go right there.
Yeah, but like, but then it's like, I feel like, there's more nuance to it, of course. Yes. But I feel like it's interesting that you said that, because I would never have thought that. I would feel like I got to have this like a summary. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, well, I feel like you guys should have like a summarization of like, what do you guys do? I'm like, we're black people that, it's all in the fucking name. Mm-hmm. It's in living black. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's like, the pitch right there.
Yeah, like we're living in our skin. And we're talking about black shit.
But it kind of reminds me of like reading up on you as well. It's like the whole destroyer thing. Like you have to be able to, again, as we were talking about, taking a broad idea and just breaking it down to what it simply is. Then you could reconstruct it, build it back up. But right here, this is what
it is. I like that point. Yeah, I like that point. Like, just like deconstructing shit and putting shit back together. I felt like I never even thought about some shit like that. I'm pretty sure I've done it before.
Yeah.
Just being a creative, but like, I never thought about like, because the process of deconstructing shit and then putting shit back together is a process in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it does something to like your mental too. Like, if it's like, damn, like this idea doesn't work at all.
But it gives you full spectrum, full understanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you'll be able to pitch it with, oh, this is what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Blank period. And I think that's the thing that if advertising is a thing unto itself as like a craft, that's the thing that it's best at is distillation, you know? Because if you think about it, Nike versus Adidas, they make the same shit.
Yeah.
They do exactly the same shit. Mm-hmm. But all of us sitting here right now intrinsically know how they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is just because they're so gigantic, but it's also in the fact that every time either one of them have ever said anything to you, it's been put through so many filters so that you know that this came from Adidas and this came from Nike.
Right.
And like, they have their own feel and they're different. In the same way, Jay-Z and Biggie are two rappers from Brooklyn at roughly the same time, but are clearly have very different lanes.
Yeah. You know how you got to soak shit up? You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people too don't like digest information well. You know what I mean? I feel like, was that something that you just learned right away? Like, I got to listen. Like, is it like somebody that you looked up to? Like, I analyze how they moved and things of that nature.
That's all I do even to this day. I mean, that's like, right. For me, it's not work. It's just fun. You know, like, I'm the type of motherfucker, I go to see a movie or I hear a new album or a new artist. And I'm like, oh, okay, that shit is fire. Let me read every fucking article that I can find about who these people are and why they sound like they, you know, who are they listening to?
Fire, right.
And you do that enough and you build up a web in your brain of all the things. And then going all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, that's how you jump from A to Z mad quick because you got mad letters
perspectives and shit.
In your alphabet instead of just like the same five letters everybody else got.
Do you travel?
Yeah.
You been to Europe?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I get that perspective because in Westinghouse, bum ass school, they had what was it, 11th grade, 12th grade? It was both years, yeah, I think.
Both years, bro.
I think even 10th grade, we had a trip to go to Italy. And I was a part of that somehow. It was like 10 kids out of like mad different kids. And I felt like, yo, because I obviously left Brooklyn. I've been to only the Caribbean islands. My mother's from Barbados, so I've obviously been Barbados and other Caribbean islands. But I've never experienced a different type of level of culture like when I went to Italy. And then when I came back, I was mad different.
Yeah.
Like, the way I was thinking, I was like, this ain't shit. And I felt like I was doing bad after that. Like, I felt like in school, because I felt like, yo, this is not even on the wavelength I'm on. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm just going to do what I could do to get by, get my 85s, 90s, and then just that's it. And like, just, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to figure shit out. Because I've been to Europe and I've seen different cultures. I've learned from different, I spoke to people, like learned from different perspectives across the world. Did you get that too? Like when you travel?
Oh,
and Najee, I'm guilty of you too as well because I know you've been to Paris.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, I think that's the point of traveling is that you go to some place that's on some wild different shit.
Yeah.
And you see all the wild different shit, but then you also see the shit that's the same.
Yeah.
Where you like, I'm halfway across the world and these motherfuckers still doing whatever. You
some
know,
real
what
Brooklyn
I mean?
Shit.
Like,
still.
Or too, yeah. Or you like watch little kids play and you're like, I don't know what the fuck these kids are saying, but I know they roasting the fuck out of that kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Najee?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for sure. It's like perspective. Like what I was saying, like what you believe is universal is not universal.
Yeah.
So when you go to these other places and like you get culture shock low key, but it's like you start to realize like, yo, just because I think or I was raised thinking that this was the right way or this is what you're supposed to do doesn't mean that's what everybody else is doing. You know what I mean?
Bart, how you felt when you went to London? Because you went to London together, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris. That was amazing.
That was great. It was a great time.
Yeah, but like, how did you feel like from the perspective of just like leaving like Queens and then just like going to like London and just be like, yo, wait, we're on the train in London. Yeah. Did you feel that?
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, it just gives you like just a better understanding that like anything is really possible for real. Mm-hmm. Because like I live in New York. I know what New York lifestyle is like, but I didn't think that these people could do this in this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I only know what I'm exposed to for real. And it's like, yeah. Nah, they live a completely different life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, nothing is like a shocker to me for real, because I had that, I just had that mindset. It's like people were just living how they living out here.
Yeah, for real,
it's
for
crazy.
Real.
You know what I'm saying? Good and bad and different. So I just my perspective on just how things could be.
The perspective never changed too. Like when you got back, like, yo, like this is some like, this is a, like, I feel like the world is bigger than this. I feel like for a long time, I didn't think the world was bigger than New York type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I haven't been, I mean, I've been to, the, like I said, I've been to the islands, but that's different. You know what I mean? Like, because I haven't been exposed on the island side. I was young when I went. I haven't been exposed on some party shit. We wasn't hanging with the locals and things of that nature. Mm. But it was like, I was, when I went to like London, Paris, or Italy, I was like, we was with the locals and I was like, what the fuck is this type shit? So when I came back, like you said, you went from A to Z. That's how I felt mentally. It was like, yo, I am different now than I was before. Like type shit. Like that's how I see how you, like from A, you thinking this way. B, you thinking another way. C, you thinking another way. But like when you get to like Z, like you said, you're like on a whole different spectrum. I think you take the time to like hear other like perspectives and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Because if you stay on A or B or C, you might only view the world from your side.
Yeah.
And that's problematic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll get out of here. Let's get out of here. Ray, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Sure. Yeah, you dope as hell. Jabari, you look beautiful as always.
Thanks, bro.
Najee, beautiful as always in the Brooklyn Circus hat.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, of course. You look beautiful as well.
Thank you.
Great beard.
Beard is fantastic.
Beard is fantastic. I was like, yo, all right. It's a good beard.
I'm on the island. Yikes.
But yeah, man, this is A Living Black. Check us out at livingblack.com. Cop the merch. Free shipping. All that. Afterpay. All that. And
where can we find you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was about to say that.
And your work.
My work, creator-destroyer.com. And then Ray the Destroyer on Instagram.
There we go. This is In Living Black. Thank you so much. Peace.
All right. Oh.